Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. This is another episode of Wake Up African People, and this is the Truth Doctor. And tonight we'll be discussing the destruction of Nubian civilization and culture. And tonight's guest that we have is Brother Tanu Amin, a Sudanese Nubian activist in the field of human rights. He has participated in numerous academic events to present his advocacy about the Nubian case in various U.S. institutions and universities, including Temple University in PA, Johns Hopkins University in Maryland, U.S. Catholic University in D.C., Columbia University in New York, Virginia Commonwealth University and Virginia Union University, and Georgia Mason VA. He also had privilege to present the Nubian case inside the Congress, where he met with some congressmen and congresswomen from both the Republican and the Democratic Party. And his counterpart, our other guest, Mr. Sorkaki, is the director of the Nubian Group of Ancient Dams in the U.S., NGADUSA. And tonight, we are going to rev it up and talk about how they've been destroying African and Black civilization across the world. Brother Tanu Amin, brother, the mic is yours. Please tell your story.
Thank you, Brother Akbar. Really, I thank you for having us in your radio talk show. My name is Tanu Amin. I'm from Nubia in northern Sudan. And after the build of high dams, my area is being flooded completely, and we've been displaced against our will over 1,000 miles away from Nubia land, all the way in the desert in eastern Sudan. I'll stop here, and then I'll give the chance for my brother, Sorkaki, the director of the Nubian Group Against Dams in USA.
Okay. Yes.
Brother Sorkaki?
Yes, thank you. My name is Sorkaki. I'm the director of Nubian Group Against Dams. And thank you first for having us in your show.
Thank you.
The Sudan government, with the help of Saudi government, they intend to build 3 dams in the Nubian land. The first one is in the second cataract in Dal, and the second one is in the third cataract in Kashbar, and the third one in the fifth cataract in Al-Shirik. And all these dams will result in destruction of the one of the oldest civilization known to mankind. So we are as a group here. We are working to lobby and do our best to stop these dams.
Yes. Well, I heard that Egypt is threatening to go to war over this dam. Is that true?
It's not that way. Egypt took a land from Nubia. It's a different case, and they claim it is Egyptian land, and for that land, they are threatening they can use power. But Brother Akbar, in this project, the building dams. I'm sorry, there's an echo.
Go ahead.
The building dams is actually, Egypt is benefiting from building dams. Egypt is benefiting from destroying Nubia as it was in the history, and they did it in 1960s when they built the Hari Dam. They destroyed total Nubia in Egypt and a part of Nubia in Sudan, which is my town and many villages. Among those villages and towns being destroyed now is under the Lake Nubia. Even they call it Lake Nazar.
Yes.
Egypt, these dams we claim and we speak out, these dams is benefit Egypt. It doesn't benefit Sudan because it will destroy the total Nubia, all the historical sites and archaeological sites. It's about 80% of the Nubian historical and archaeological sites. Just to turn Nubia a breadbasket for the food security of Egypt and Arab Gulf countries like Saudi Arabia, like Qatar, Kuwait, Emirates, they are working together in Arab League to find a fertile land and plenty of water, fresh water, which is Nubia. They can't find, they will not find anywhere in North Africa or Middle East, only in Nubia. So they are trying to secure the food for Arabia. So it's a well planned master plan to eliminate Nubia, and in the same time they will secure the food for Arabia. We are lobbying against this action here in United States, and some other Nubian in Europe and in other places also, they are lobbying against dams. The dams will destroy Nubia. We understand in Nubia, we understand Nubia is the center of African culture. It's very important and very critical for the civilization of Africa. Same importance of Greece and Rome to the Western civilization. So if the Africans lost Nubia, they will lose the center of their civilization. So from this point, we ask Africans in Africa and in diaspora, which in USA also one of them, to stand against dams, to help us to reach out, to speak to the policy maker, to reach our to bring our message to the policy maker, to the administration in US. So this is what we are doing now, Brother Akbar.
I heard that these dams do a lot of ecological damage. Is that true?
It is true. It is true. I am not a geologist or archaeologist, but I read a lot of papers and articles. It will do a lot of damage. The structure of the ground there in Nubia, it is not rock. It's a soft. These dams in few years it can collapse and cause flood, more flood. The point also, there's a one point, Brother Akbar. When they build this, as my brother Sorkoti pointed, they build three dams. In these three dams, they will displace the total population of Nubians to the deserts of Sudan in the east or in the west. So when they build the dams, they are building for some purpose. It's not for the Nubians. It's not for the benefit of Nubian people. They will displace the Nubian. So some other people, they're going to benefit, which is Arab nations in Egypt, Arab Republic of Egypt, and Arab Gulf countries, rich countries. They have a master plan. The Saudi Arabia king was in Egypt a few weeks ago, and they are building a bridge from Egypt to Saudi Arabia, and there is a railway on that bridge. So this is very clear to us. This bridge on the Red Sea with railway. That means that's where they're going to remove the goods, the agriculture product from Nubia to Egypt and then to the desert of Arabia. And we are well known now the price of the oil is going down. The Gulf Arab country, they are losing a lot, and they cannot buy or secure their food from the international market. So they want to sacrifice some other nation and turn them the breadbasket to the Arabia, which in this case is us, is Nubia, is Africa.
Now, South Sudan and Sudan went to war over oil and the independence of the indigenous or more indigenous black people of that part of Africa. Do you think it's possible that the Nubian people will wage war against these people to save their culture and their land?
Well, there's a group of Nubian. They are talking about raising arms, but the majority, they are not speaking about that right now, but there is a group of people and there is a movement emerging to raise arms to save Nubia. So there is possibility. There is always there is a possibility there, because Nubians are the one of the indigenous Africans who are speaking African languages. They are being targeted for their culture. We is very clear for the Nubian. The South Sudanese is being targeted. Darfurian is being targeted. Nuba Mountain targeted, and Blue Nile, and now Nubia in the far north. And this action supported by the Arab League is not action of Sudan government or Egypt government, both Sudan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, but it's supported and well funded by the Arab League.
And that's mainly Saudi Arabia.
Yes, mainly Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, yes.
And what has been done by your guys' organization to thwart this situation? What have y'all actually done? Other than lobby.
Okay. We are the Nubian Sudanese in diaspora. We launched a lot of series of actions. We demonstrate in front of Saudi Arabia embassy last few months, two times. We demonstrate in front of the White House, and we have a plan to demonstrate on 26 May in front of United Nations in New York, and we ask all the Nubian friends and all the Nubians in United States, Africans, African Americans, we call them Nubians, they are Nubians. We urge them to join us on next Thursday in front of the United Nations. Those kind of action we are taking. On top of that also, we reach out Congress members from both parties, Republican and Democrats, and we speak at the universities, in different universities in the United States, and churches as well, and high schools. Those kind of action we are taking.
Now, how about the United States of Africa? Have y'all got with them nations to help y'all fight to save Nubian culture, or are they interested?
I am personally, I believe on United States of Africa, and I believe on African cultural unity. And yes, it's concern us, and I believe Nubia is belong to Africa. Nubia is as I mentioned at the beginning, it's the center of African civilization. It's the same as with Greece and Rome are the center of European civilization. Africa's center is Nubia and Egypt. If we lost Nubia, this is the beginning of the African civilization. Nubia gave birth to Egypt and to other civilization in Africa, like Songhai Kingdom and Ashanti Kingdom and Aksum Kingdom and Pont Kingdom and Munomutaba and all these. But Nubia is the mother of African civilization, and it we believe in African unity, and it will help our case. And we also we hope also our friends in the humanity, the international society, to stand with Nubia, saving Nubia against the destruction. And here I want to mention and thank the United States of America. In 1960s, when Nasser of Egypt came to the United States to build High Dam, the American refused to build that. They said this dam will destroy a very rich civilization. But Nasser of Egypt went to Soviet Union, and they came and just built it. They don't care about Nubian civilization. They don't care about destroying this, or if it disappears, it's not their concern. They was in the Cold War. They need Arabs to rally with them. And Egypt, as we know, is now they call Arab Republic of Egypt. So this is what's going on.
They say that Nasser was Nubian. Is that true?
No, it's not true. Nasser is well. We read the books, and we learn. Our curriculum system is built in Egypt. And Nasser is one of the Arab tribes, and he's always proud that he's an Arab. And he's one of the founder of Arab ultra-nationalism, Arab ultra-nationalist, and which they call now a Nasser party.
How about Anwar Sadat?
Well, Anwar Sadat have Nubian blood, but they work to serve the system in Egypt. Egypt is set now as an Arab republic, and they cannot spin out of that system. So Anwar Sadat, he have a Nubian blood, but he served the system, the Arab Republic of Egypt, and I believe for so coming years, and this will be the case unless something happens.
Mr. Sarkati, let's hear what he has to say.
Yes, if these three dams, they build it in the Nubian area, it's going to create a lake which is over like 400 miles, a huge lake. And as I said, these dams has a lot of impacts. It has human and heritage and cultural impact, because this place indigenous people of Nubia, and they are going to relocate them to unknown area. And also, as Tanut said, we have a lot of archaeological sites, like over 900 sites will be gone. And there is a lot of ecological impacts to that area. And these three dams will generate like 750 megawatts, which is this, I believe, in that area with the green energy, the solar and wind energy, you can generate more electricity from green energy.
So why don't they just use solar panels, solar energy?
Because as Brother Tanut said, it's a master plan, so they want to relocate and these people from this area. So that's the problem. And I think the cost of the green energy is less than the dams. But it's, as Brother Tanut said, it's a master plan. They want to relocate and move the Nubians from their lands.
And this is the second or third time they move Nubian people.
This will be the third time.
Now, the ancient city of Kerma, would that be part of where they flooded?
Yes.
That's a shame. How many pyramids will and temples do you think will be underwater?
As I said, it's the archaeological sites. It's over 900 sites. So that's through the pyramids and different archaeological sites.
These people are very evil. And what I want to talk about now is forced Arab culture on Nubian people. Whichever one of y'all want to take that.
Yes, we'll take that. The forcible Arabization, it's a master plan, as we said in the beginning. And it's when Sudan get independent from Britain in 1956, quickly the leader of Egypt, the leader of Arabia, Nasser of Egypt, forced Sudan to join the Arab League. Against the Arab will, even some other Arab country, they reject. They says Sudanese are not Arabs. We don't want them in the Arab League. Nasser forced the existence of Sudan in Arab League because he's securing the fresh water, the backyard of Egypt. When I grow up, I remember in the first grade, all the curriculum, school curriculum was Egyptian. We don't speak Arabic. Brother Serkoti and myself, before we go to school, we don't speak Arabic. We speak Nubian, and all the society speak Nubian. But when we went to school, me personally, he's younger than me, in 1960s, the curriculum was Egyptian, was Arabic. And then the education system, they have to force us to learn Arabic. They set the country, the Arabic language is the official language of Sudan. And then it was a problem, they have to force millions of Sudanese in Nubia, in Darfur, in all the indigenous areas to learn Arabic. Because you can't study if you don't speak Arabic. They Arabized the education. And then I remember I was not speaking Arabic. There was a system of torturing students to speak Arabic. They used to give us a red card. The first student who speak Nubian, the teacher will give you a red card. And then you speak with other students, and then you give him that red card. And then he will hide it in his pocket, and then he speak to other students, and then he give the red card. Following day in the assembly, the teacher will come and call the first student who took the red card, and that will that I give it to X, and X will say I give it to Z, and then they will bring all these students and give them 5 lashes in front of those students. It's humiliation and torturing. But it was very clear when I grew up, when I was in the middle school, this was a forcible Arabization. And they deny us to speak our language, which to learn our language. Now I speak Nubian fluently, but I cannot read and write from that action. Just now we are starting a class. A friend of Nubian, Brother Nuvantud, he came recently from Sudan. He managed to escape and came safely to the state. He's going to open classes here in Washington, D.C. to teach us how to read and write our language. So this is it's a painful experience. We are carrying millions of students, Sudanese, in north, west, east, in Bija East, in Darfur, Nuba Mountain, in Blue Nile, all over Sudan, the majority indigenous people. So the issue of Arabs in Sudan was a political issue for Arabia, because Sudan have a lot of resources, fresh water, the Nile River, and plenty of fertile, untouched land. And Arabs need that, because Arabs, they have trillions of their dollars in desert of Arabia, but they don't have fertile land, they don't have fresh water. Now it's the right time they came to take the land, which they call it land of flat. This name is itself is humiliating name for us. Land of flat, politically Arab, when they attach this name, they meant to say land of slaves, the land owned by slaves. The land is still not taken from slaves. And now it's the right time they are taking the land from the slaves. This is the way we see it. So it's a total Arabization against the African culture, indigenous people, and we saw the experience. All the world remember the war against the South Sudanese, and the South Sudanese, they lost over 3 million people to gain their freedom and to protect and maintain their African culture and African language. And I think this will be the case everywhere in Sudan, and it's already erupted in Darfur, Nuba Mountain, Blue Nile, and I believe it will erupt in far north Nubia and in east Bija.
Let's talk about racism. Do the Arabs and the Arabic people treat Nubian people as equals?
No.
Because
Nubians, they have accent when they speak Arabic, because they have a different language. They speak different languages, the Nubian language. When they come to speak Arabic, it's very clear Arabic is not his mother tongue. And that's the case with all other Sudanese. Sudan is over 90% are indigenous African language speakers. But their African culture is being oppressed, and one of them is Nubia, oppressed and downlooked as an inferior language, inferior culture. And the indication in the state jobs and like a TV and radio, if you don't speak Arabic fluently, whatever degree, whatever qualification you have, you can't have a chance, because they see the state as the Arabic state. So Arabic culture is oppressing other indigenous African culture, and the oppression it's in the name itself. The Sudan is not what we used to call ourselves. We used to call ourselves Bas. We used to call ourselves Kush. We used to call ourselves Nubia. Greek used to call us Ethiopia. And today, Ethiopia used to call Abyssinia, but they took the name of Ethiopia in 1932, time of Emperor Haile Selassie. But we stuck with Sudan. And not only the name of the country, also our names. All the Nubian, all the Sudanese, even they are not Arab, they have African indigenous culture, indigenous languages, but they carry Arab names, because this is what the country, the state want to. They don't want to hear, they don't want to see African dress code, they don't want to see African languages developing, they don't want to see African culture, they just want to see Arab culture in Sudan. And this is why Sudan always in war against itself.
And how about marriage? a Nubian man marrying Arabic women. Is that permitted?
Yes, that's yes, it's happening. Nubians and Arab, they can marry to each other because typically they look each other. And in my opinion, I don't see Arab in Sudan. I see Arabized Nubians. The Nubians who enter the stage of self-hatred due to Arab oppression, due to slave trade. Millions of Nubian tribes, they gave up the Nubian languages, Nubian tradition, and they claim they are Arabs. This is the way I see it personally. Some people don't agree with me in Sudan, but I don't see Arabs in Sudan because you can't tell any difference between Nubians and Arabs and Eastern Sudan, Bijaz, or in Darfur, or Nuba Mountain. They only measure the difference by the language, by fluency in Arabic language. That is what measures you if you are Arab or not.
So would you say that in Sudan, that the Sudanese that claim Arabic and claim that they're Arabs are really brainwashed Nubians?
Absolutely. Confused Nubians. And that's happened through years of oppression and years of slave trade. And to run away from this, they have to claim that they are Arabs, and they have to cut their mother tongues, and they have to speak Arabic and practice Arabic culture. And now they call themselves Arabs. So this is a problem of Sudan. They are all Sudanese, blacks, Africans, Nubians. But this is a process of self-hatred due to the slavery trade and oppression from Arab. They start slave early before the European came to Africa. They enslaved the African very early time.
Because the Arab slave trade is the oldest slave trade in Africa.
Yes, absolutely. You're right, Dr.
And at one time, they used to not permit the men to marry Arab women, but they would marry African women, and they would turn the men into eunuchs. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, until now, they don't allow African men to marry Arab women, for example, in Gulf areas. But Arab man always can marry an African woman in any time, in any place.
And then the children from that union will be seen as Arab, not even half Nubian or half African, but full Arabic, right?
Yes, absolutely, and that takes us to explain why they do that. Because the Arab culture is a patriarchal culture, and Nubian's African culture is a matriarchal culture. So Arab, they have to impose their culture on their generations.
So, like, they claim that Islam was not spread by the sword, but history today tells us that it was spread by the sword. What would you say to that?
I personally very convinced Islam is spread by sword, and they invade countries, and they destroy civilizations, and they claim the civilization of this nation, they claim it as the Arabian civilization. For example, if you go to Mesopotamia, what they call it, change it to Iraq, civilization of Egyptian. Egypt became, we don't know how Egypt became Arab Republic, and we know Arab never built a civilization. They have a culture, but civilization always built in the fertile land. The people live in the bank of rivers and fertile land. Those are the people, stone cutters, stone builders, those are the people who create civilization. But nomads who travel in the desert, they don't create civilization, but they took these civilizations, they rage a war against them in the name of God, Arab God, and they impose their culture through the religion. The religion, Islam is the vehicle of, it's spreading the concept, the reality in the concept of Arabia.
Yes, it sure. Just like Christianity does, it spreads the culture of the white Europeans and put them on top of it, of the Godhead, and has Africans praying to white images. And this is a serious thing, even in America, for African Americans. It's a lot of African Americans converting to Islam, and you know, we already were converted to Christianity in the slavery time. But a lot of our people, just like over there, can't see that these things are new to our people. They're not something ancient that we practice. We had a great civilization, and a lot of people don't understand that the word civilization means civility, peace. And none of these people have brought peace to us. Right? Do you agree with that?
Yes, I agree with the destruction of African civilization for both sides. And but what's new are we bringing here to United States, especially to our brothers and sisters, African American, that the rule of Arab in destruction of African civilization. This is not being discussed yet. I believe it's a new issue. You discussed the European slavery, European they invade Africa, they colonize Africa, they did the slave trade, and all this is being well discussed here in the United States and some other places. But the rule of Arab in destruction of Nubia, Kush, Africa, and the rule of Arab in inventing the slavery and the rule in destruction of African culture, African languages, up until today, until the moment I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not discussed. This is a new issue. This is exactly what we are bringing when we speak at universities, at any institutions, we talk about these topics. But when we meet with congressmen or women or from both, we just explain the political side of what's happening in Sudan or destroying the Nubia.
Yes, because they have this thing called political correctness where you can't speak the truth.
Yes, that's
been a big problem, even right here in the United States, that you have to be politically correct. You can't speak against the ills that are being done to the people. I'd like to hear some more from Mr. Sakarti. Is he still with us?
Brother Sakarti.
He may not be with us anymore. Go ahead, brother. Let me see if I can see if he's still in here. No, his phone hung up. Go ahead.
Oh, I think he dropped.
It probably dropped. He'll call back.
Yes.
You're doing a great job anyway.
Thank you. Thank you. Brother Akbar, we have a rule, a historical rule to do here in the U.S. We, the newcomers in the Sudanese, I'm talking when I say we, the Sudanese Nubians, we have to speak up and explain without worrying the political correctness, and we have to speak up our minds and bring this issue to all the institutions in the United States, and especially to our brothers and sisters, African American, because they don't have what I have to, how I have to describe it. They don't have the, a lot of about the Arabian history, what the Arab did in Africa. We have to speak about that because it's continuing until today. Even African country is independent. The civil war going on in Sudan after South Sudan independent from the North Sudan is still the civil war going against the Darfurian and Nuba Mountains and Blue Nile. Darfur is 100% Muslims, but the state is raging a war against them because they are not Arab. They don't speak Arabic. They speak their indigenous African language. And this case is, goes to all the indigenous people. We have a people of Bija in the eastern Sudan. They've been marginalized. They've been cut off from the wealth. And their land is being distributed to different newcomers, to the Arabs, basically. So this is what's going on. They want to Arabize Nubia. They want to remove total Nubians from the land of Nubia. So that land, that rich land, was fertile. And the one major thing, that there is a huge Nubian aquifer under the ground. Nubian aquifer, it's times, many times of the Nile River. It's a huge store of the water under the ground in Nubia. Arabs need this water. So to put their hands in all these resources, they have to remove the Nubian by any means from their ancestral land, push them back to the desert in the eastern Sudan or western Sudan and clean the Nubia so Arabia will build their dreams. They gave this project a code name. They call it New Andalusia. They want to build New Andalusia in the Nile Valley. The Andalusia they lost in Spain, they want to do it in Africa now. By destroying one of the oldest civilizations, one of the oldest man civilizations, and that we believe Nubia is the center of African civilization. If the African lost Nubia, this loss is not reversible. You cannot have it again because all these historical sites will be under the water, will be diluted in the water. We can't reverse it. What we lost by the high dam in 1960, we cannot reverse the process. We lost, Nubia lost a huge loss in that high dam. And they did not give a one house electricity in Nubia to use the electricity comes out from high dam. And they sell it all the way to the Asia, up to the Jordan. So this is a master plan. We have to speak out. We have to talk to our brothers and sisters. We have to talk to our administration, the policy makers. And we want your help to stand with us in this struggle.
Well, I'm going to do all that I can personally to help advance your cause and the cause of all African people about the destruction of our ancient, civilizations and culture and artifacts. And these... this Arab thing has been going on, like you said, forever. It never stopped. And they said that blacks, they call them Abs. That means slave. And that's one reason why I would not take the name Abdullah, because I'm not a slave to anything. I would never take that name Ab. I used to be into Islam real deep. I even speak Quranic Arabic. But, as I started learning about the destruction of African civilization, and I tell people this is a good, very good book. It's called The Destruction of African Civilization by Chancellor Williams. And then there's another good book called The Last 30 Years of Roman Dominion in Egypt. And these books will give you a pretty clear idea on what went on and what happened to African civilization in the past. And we are the ones of today that can still tell this continuous story of the destruction of African civilization and African people's culture. I would like to ask you this question here. Is there a ancient written, still written, and kept Nubian language without using Arabic letters? Or actually, the Arabic letters are African letters anyway. They didn't even have, they couldn't even write or read when they came in.
Do you want to hear Nubian language, something from Nubian language?
Yes.
Okay, I have a poem in Nubian language. It's the name of the poem is the African Cultural Unity, but it's in Nubian language. I will say it quickly. U Nubi yamel u kush yamel irkun Nubialin kushilin al kibulanin oksomilton ashanten kelin pontilton songein kelin monobetam alton kimitin kelin u atum bruilin u amuntunilin u kanda kanchilin u urwilin u kushiamel u Nubiamel.
Sounds like I heard something from the ancient ancestors. And let me ask you this question before it slips my mind. Would that language be the language of the ancient Egyptians? Because we know that ancient Egypt didn't stop at the lines where they mark them off today. Would this be the language or close to the language that you think that they spoke?
Yeah, I as a Nubian activist, I believe yes, but I don't have linguistic evidence. I will leave this to the linguists. But as a Nubian person speaking Nubian, and there's a lot of things in the history is I can understand, and we use these words in the Nubian languages. And I believe Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, he says this to rewrite the African history. The historian, the archaeologist, the linguist, they have to study Nubian language because there is a lot of things hidden in that language. And that's true. That's true. But I can't convince because I am not a linguist or archaeologist or something, but just a Nubian.
Well,
Sheikh
Anta Diop's idea was that Wolof, the language, Wolof language, was a comparison. But that was just a theory.
Yes, and there's a lot of connection, Wolof and Sarir and all these African kingdoms' languages. And Nubian language, there's a lot of words that are similar.
Mm-hmm. Like the Bantu language is widespread across the African continent. And if Egypt was the apex of African civilization, I would think that the language would spread throughout the continent.
Yes.
So we don't know if the Nubians are speaking what the Egyptians spoke, or would the Dogon, who said they come from Egypt, would be speaking, or even the Bantu, you know, because we just don't know. But that's because our people are not doing the work of archaeological work. It's in the hands of the Europeans. So they can say the Egyptians were white. They can say that they were slaves and built the pyramids. All these lies that are coming out to be total bull today. And it's a shame that we have to learn it this way, and they just couldn't be honest and say, yo, that was y'all civilization. We did conquer y'all. But, you know, y'all guys did that over there. You know, but these people are thieves, the Arabs, even the Arabs. They're not even from that area. And like you was talking about Iran. Iran has black people in Iran that's been there forever. And did you know that you barely even see these people, period? They don't even show them.
Yes.
Because the Arabs stole all these lands.
Yes, there is a black in Iran and in Arabia, in Yemen, in Saudi Arabia, in Iraq, in South Iraq, in Basra, about 3 million blacks being oppressed. Those are being sold in after Arab invade Africa. They said they came. That was 652 AD when they crushed Kingdom of Nubia. And they took slaves. They had to take certain slaves. Nubia had to pay slaves to Arabia. And now these 3 million in South Iraq and some are in Saudi Arabia and Yemen. Those are from the slavery trade. And it's still they are there and they are oppressed. They are not full citizens. They look at them as a second class citizen or third class citizen sometimes.
Hmm.
Yes,
well,
this is it is, and nobody talks about this the issue of what Arab did in destruction of the African culture, African heritage, African languages. It's really ongoing, and we have to speak about this. We have to tell our friends and the international community about this.
Well, what I've been thinking about planning bringing you down here to Michigan for a lecture on the issue. The more we can get you out and around the country speaking to different people, you know, the regular everyday people, then they can raise,
yes,
you know, the issue up that they're concerned. And we do need, I don't know if you have a petition out there. Do you have a petition?
I don't have a petition, but there was a few petitions out there, but I am not prepared right now. But maybe I can discuss with you after the program if there is any petition. But we can talk about that.
Now, how about you guys contacted the United Nations, and what did they have to say if they said anything, if you contacted them?
Well, we did not contact the United Nations, but we took permission from the New York police to demonstrate in front of the United Nations to stop destruction of Nubia, to stop building dams in Nubia. So that's what all we did, but we did not reach the officials in the United Nations yet.
Mm. That's another thing that we're going to have to put. We're going to have to put that together. I'm going to be working with you guys strong on this issue here. How about UNESCO? Have y'all guys contacted UNESCO?
Yes, a friend of one of the activists, Brother Nubentot, he have contacts with UNESCO. And he did work for the last few years discussing many papers in UNESCO, and his papers are published in a lot of magazines.
So what's the conclusion of UNESCO?
Well, UNESCO, they always indicate they don't want to engage in a political activity. They don't need a political activity. So they close the door that way. If you have any scientific paper about Nubia, about Nubian civilization, you can discuss in their events. They can accept that, but they don't deal with any political issues.
Yes. So their hands are tied. Their hands are tied because it's a political. How would they see this as political and not an outright destruction of Nubian history and culture?
Yes, I believe they see it. They see our movement as a political movement. So they don't respond to us unless. Scholars like historians or archaeologists or linguists, they engage in this movement, and then I believe the UNESCO will listen to us and they will consider what we are saying. But they see us as activists. We are a politician, and we have a political issues, and they are neutral in politics. So this is the way they look at it. But we would like to engage a lot of professors, archaeologists, historians, all the scholars in this process, so we can bring our issue together.
Now, this day, this river, this new river that they're hopefully they won't get it. Hopefully they won't do it. But this new river that they're proposing, would how big would it be? Bigger than Lake Nasser?
Oh yeah, this will be bigger than Lake Nasser. This will flood it. It will inundate the total Nubia all the way to the north of Khartoum, north of capital.
Mm.
This will be a big loss for the Africa, for the humanity. It's a larger than the Nasser, maybe many times.
Mm. Well, is it gonna? How many countries would this river be? Will be bordering this river?
There is Uganda and South Sudan. It comes from Uganda to South Sudan, and then to North Sudan, and then there is other. The Blue Nile comes from Ethiopia, and they join in Khartoum. And then the Nile flows all the way to the north to Delta in Egypt.
So are they going to change the path of the Nile to fill this up? Or I mean, would they have to dam the Nile up to get the water, right or wrong?
Yes. I don't know the technical plan, how they're going to do this process. We know what impact's going to be and what the loss going to be, and but the technical side of it, how they're going to build, and these dams is a serious dam, three dams. It will flood the total Nubia, and we will, due to that, we will lose over 85% of Nubian archaeological and historical sites. So this is the way we see it, and we don't want to lose our land. We don't want to be displaced to the different areas, thousands of miles away from the Nile and our land. So this is the issue is bothering us right now, and we are rallying about this, and we need help of all friends of Nubia.
And they're basically, the Nubian people are river people that fish and use the river for their livelihood, right?
Absolutely. Everything, even in our language, our songs, everything is river, everything is water, even in our religion. Before the Abrahamic faith, the Amun, the religions of Amun, all these Nubian, the Kushite religions, they are, and the gods, they are in the Nile, in the water. The water is for us. It's a sacred gift.
Mm-hmm.
We treat the Nile with respect, with prayers.
Mm. Now, you know the pyramids in ancient Nubia. Would them pyramids be flooded too?
Some of them. But the one a little bit far from the Nile may not. But I cannot guarantee. But over 85% of archaeological and historical site will be submerged under the water, and we will lose it forever.
Mm. You know that sacred mountain they have there near the pyramids that it looks like a snake is coming out of it, is out of the mountain?
Yeah.
And it's like sacred. Would that be covered up?
Yes. Yeah, sacred mountain, they call it in Arabic, they call it Jebel al-Barkal.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Jebel al-Barkal.
Yes. That I believe it will be it will be one of these 85%. According to the officials who put the studies, or the Nubian scholars who put the studies.
Yeah, well, we need to get y'all guys out here, and I'm going to try to talk to my friend to try to get y'all on some other shows so that this information can get all around. And we need to get a petition going. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. I'm going to have you to call me because we're coming to the end of the show. We are at 1 hour into the show, and I want to thank you, and I want to thank Mr. Sakaki. I don't know what happened to him, but we thank him for coming on and spending his time, and we thank you for giving us information because our people didn't know. We knew that they were planning on building a dam, but this thing has been going on for a long time, at least 10 years or more, right?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Akbar. Thank you for having me in your program, and really, I appreciate this. It's a big help.
Oh, look. I am blessed to have you on my show and to be able to get this information out through Wake Up African People. And we're going to bring you back on next month. We're going to try to have you on at least once or twice a month till we get this thing going and get some people behind us and get you speaking in different venues. So I want to thank everybody who listened to this show and who will listen to this show in the future. Get involved. Our people need us in Africa, and stop believing that you're not African people. No matter where you are on earth, you are African. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Never unite. Let's get down, let's get down, let's get down.